Well, the Lord is good, isn't he? Amen, amen. The book of Proverbs today. I'm thankful that there are powerful truths from the word of the Lord that we have proven. We know they're real. We know that they are exactly as they declare. And those blessings are what we hold to, and that strength is what we call upon. And I'm thankful that we can know all that God would provide, all that God would bless, and not fall short of it. Amen. And chapter 10, there's just so much in Proverbs, you know, that you can just open the book and point, and there'd probably be something there that would bless you and would help you. But chapter 10, verse 22, makes just a very simple statement, a very straightforward statement that we have found to be real. We found it to be true. Let's read it together. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. None. Praise God. I'm so thankful that we can know our God knows how to add. He knows how to subtract, too. He knows how to multiply. He knows how to divide. Praise God. And you need to learn how to do that spiritually. Amen. The kids have started school, and they'll be engaged in all of those things and beyond. We were amazed when your little pocket calculators came out, and you could find the square root just by pushing a button. You didn't have to do all of that formula and all of that stuff. And it's so far beyond that now. But oh, thank God, the Lord knows how to add. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. Paul, known as Saul of Tarsus, was, by his own testimony, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, the tribe of Benjamin. The law, blameless. That's quite a boast. And yet he puts it forth there in his letter to the Philippians as though this is proof of what I was and what I had before I found the Lord. And then he qualifies it by saying, but all of that is nothing. It's trash. It's to be thrown out so that I could know Christ. See, he valued that relationship far more than any of the additions that he may have had in terms of studying the law. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel, a well-known teacher, one who was very powerful in his knowledge of the Jewish law and all of the things that would involve their history and the situations that they would have come through, and Paul would have added to his knowledge in those things. But he knew that all of that was nothing compared to the knowledge and the experience of the Lord. Amen. And thank God that he had that moment of conversion. He had that point of change. There was the transformation that came to his life. And then he dedicates himself totally to spreading that message, preaching the gospel, taking it to places beyond. And the rest of his life was a fulfillment of God using him as an instrument of good. And miracles and power and conversions and cities being filled with joy at the preaching of the word of God. In Romans 15 and 29, he talked about the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. The fullness of the blessing. Sometimes it's easy to measure out a blessing of the Lord and consider ourselves full. That's good. Wonderful. I got what I needed. But the truth is, there's a fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ that we can step into, that we can understand, that we can recognize, that we can realize in the relationship that God wants us to have. Praise God. Ephesians 1 and 3, he talks about the being blessed, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Wow. There again, it opens up a vista and a realm that is far beyond our imagination. Heavenly places. Four times in Ephesians, that phrase is there. Heavenly places. God help us not to fall short of what the Lord has. Of course, in the heavenly place, in that realm. But there are blessings now that God wants to impart. There are places now that God wants to bring you to that are far beyond what you've already experienced. And that's why there's much more that God has for us. Thank the Lord. Blessings that are better than any of the aspects that we may have experienced already. And the Bible talks about fear and wrath and judgment. And those things are, we know, part of God's character as well. But thank God for the blessings that are there. We don't dare take them for granted. We know that there are examples in the scripture of those who felt rather flippant about their relationship with God. I think about Esau, a man who loved to hunt, a man who loved to cook what he had taken in the field, and he spiced it up just so. He got it done just to the point that he liked. He labored over the fire with a pot or with a grill, whatever it might have been, and he enjoyed that process until the day that he came back from a hunt, not being able to put anything on the fire, not being able to throw anything in the pot. He was weary, he was hungry, he was worn out, and his brother Jacob was cooking. And oh, the smell was there, kind of like those onions on the hot dog cart. You know, you just step up there and, ooh, man, if you're not hungry before then, you're definitely going to get hungry by the time you smell those onions. And he smelled that pot of beans. And he took his position and his place for granted. And he reasoned like this. This is amazing to me that he would say, I'm hungry. I'm starving. I'm going to die if I don't have something to eat. Give me some of your pottage, you know, that a bowl of beans. And Jacob said, give me your birthright. Oh, my goodness. There should have been alarm bells going off in his head. There should have been red flags waving. There should have been all kinds of warnings to him. What? You got to be kidding. There's no way I'm going to give you my birthright. I'm going to go make my own pot of beans. It'll only take an hour and a half or so, or, you know, that's probably cutting it short. Probably takes longer than that. But he wasn't going to die. He wasn't going to fall in exhaustion and not be able to rise. No. He exaggerated his situation, and he took it for granted. The Bible says he despised his birthright. And in the Hebrew, I don't know if this is even a word. I guess it is, because despise in Hebrew equals disesteem. He didn't esteem it. I don't guess I've ever heard the word disesteem before, but I can understand what it means. He didn't esteem it to the level he should have. He took it for granted. He felt like, this is not going to do me any good if I die. And give me a bowl of beans, and you can have my birthright. Now, what was involved in the birthright? It was more than inheritance. It was a spiritual standing. It was a place that he would have authority in the spiritual realm with the Lord. And it was something that was passed on to the eldest son, and he just, well, Hebrews comments about it and gives the right perspective. And the perspective that Esau should have had, and understanding where he was, who for one, talks about Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And yet man's thinking, I've heard the quote, everything is for sale at the right price. And that may be true in the material realm. That may be true that you'd be able to make a profit, a sizable profit, an astounding profit, if the price is right. But not so with your soul. Not so with the blessings of the Lord. Not so with the things that God would desire to impart to you. There are some things that are not for sale. There are some things that are not going to be exchanged. It's a sad commentary for Esau in Hebrews, it's Hebrews 12, 17, that talks about afterward, when he realized what he had done, when it sunk home that he sold his birthright for a bowl of beans. He would have inherited the blessing, the Bible says, but he was rejected. Even though he sought in repentance with tears, he was sincere. He recognized what he had gambled away. He realized the mistake that he'd made. He sought it carefully with tears, but he was rejected and found no place of repentance. Oh, God, help us to value what we need to value in the Lord, to hold on to what we cannot exchange and let go. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Now, how could truth be a commodity? How could truth be something that you could make a medium of exchange? How could you buy it and then refuse to sell it? There's something that the Lord is trying to say to us, that there is truth that will make you free. There is truth that is powerful in His Word. There is truth that He fulfilled personally when He declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That we are to enter into that relationship with Him and not exchange it for anything, not trade it in any manner, not move away from it in favor of anything else. Thank God for truth that is powerful, for truth that will prevail, for truth that will bring you into His presence again and again until in eternity we're able to exalt Him and praise Him. No, I'm not going to sell it. Praise God. Because of the riches that it brings. Now, Christ will make you rich because He was willing to become poor. That's an amazing exchange that He made. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 talks about the grace of the Lord, the grace of God that made that exchange. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. Thank God that there would be that exchange that would happen, and we would step into riches beyond belief. We would step into glory and goodness beyond anything we had known up to that point. It was His grace that made Him make that trade. For your sakes, He became poor. Not just a humble setting of Nazareth, not just a barn in Bethlehem, but the whole aspect of passing on His divine traits and abilities to take on human limitations. Thank God we are blessed by His grace, and we became rich through His weakness, and now we enjoy the power of the Lord and the glory of God and the blessing of salvation so great. Hallelujah. Thank God that those riches are a blessing to us today. He is rich in mercy. Ephesians 2 tells us His great love wherewith He loved us. Oh, thank God. That's the place that He would direct His love. I'm thankful there is so much beauty and so much wonder and so much incredible aspects of the creation that He spoke into existence. But that's not His priority of love. His priority is you. You are His priority. You are the recipients of His love and of His grace. The Bible talks about the riches of His grace. Ephesians 2 and 7. And that makes us rich as well. Exceeding riches, the Bible says. And His kindness toward us. Thank God that's something we experience all the time as we continue on through this life. I'm thankful it never runs out. There is an end to the riches. If we were to somehow somehow gain access to Fort Knox, and we were able to behold all those bars of gold and all the currency and everything that may be there, and we were to understand how incredible it is. By the way, I read a depiction of $3.5 trillion. Remember the example of receiving $1,000 a day and how long it would take to spend it if you had $1 million? How long it would take to spend it if you had $1 billion? Now, if you had $3.5 trillion and you got $1 million a day, 9,000 years later, you would have it spent. If you were to have the equivalent of $3.5 trillion in dollar bills, and you or $100 bills, and you stacked them up, it would keep going until you're out of this atmosphere, 25 miles. $100 bills stacked up. God help our government. But that's a whole nother message. Lord help us. Thank God for his riches. Thank God for his riches. Far beyond that. Far beyond. Hallelujah. Oh, the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. Thank God for the riches of his glory. Thank God that he provides that for us because he was willing to become poor. He could have called the angels, we know. He could have summoned them all and taken care of everybody who was abusing him, everybody who was beating him and spitting on him and slapping him. He could have taken care of the soldiers who nailed him to that cross, but thank God he became poor and weak and defenseless so that we could know his riches. Hallelujah. That's what he wants to add. That's the power he wants to give. That's the blessing he wants to make available. Oh, thank God for his strength and his goodness. Hallelujah. I'm glad for his blessings. Amen. I'll pass up the things of this world. Amen. Got a call from an unknown number. I better take this one. Congratulations. You won the sweepstakes of $8 million. Really? Said, well, I'm not interested. You're not interested in $8 million? I said, no, because this is a scam. He said, how do you know it's a scam? Because you're going to start asking me for personal information, and I'm not going to give it to you. Click. He hung up. Ah, there are some things I'm not going to trade. Amen. 8 million, 3.5 trillion, it doesn't matter. I'm going to keep on going with God and know his blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he can add so much more. So much more. Very quickly here, 1 Timothy 6:17, he giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Don't be high-minded. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, because he gives those riches. Amen. And we can enjoy them. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thankful. That statement that Paul wrote to Timothy is probably based on Jeremiah 9:23. Don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom. Don't let the mighty man glory in his might. Don't let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in the understanding and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Lord. And God says, I am the Lord who gives loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord delights in giving you that. The Lord delights in blessing you with the knowledge of his power and his goodness. The Lord delights in spreading his loving kindness for you. Thank the Lord. I'm glad that there is a richness that we can have in him. Rich in faith, the Bible talks about. Amen. Our faith and our focus on inheriting the kingdom that he promised, holding on to him because he has promised it to those that love him. So he adds. Luke 4 and 18, he stepped into his hometown. He called for the scroll. He opened it up to Isaiah, and he started to read. And thank God that there would be the truth that he would provide. He heals the brokenhearted to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind. This is Luke 4, 18. To set at liberty them that are bruised. And then he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. Praise God. Hallelujah. And they looked at one another in amazement. They were astonished. They wondered, how can he say that? How can he? This is Joseph's son. You know, they didn't believe because they didn't recognize. God, help us to recognize who he is. Amen. Now I know he's Jesus Christ. We know he's the one who died for us on the cross. We know he's the one that this whole Bible is about, as Brother Mike taught this morning. We know all of those things, but you've got to apply it personally. Amen. There's got to be the times that you have tears running down your cheeks and you still hold on to the promise. There's got to be times when your body is racked with pain, but you're still holding on to the promise. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. There's times that the enemy is assaulting you with doubt and with fear, but thank God you are encouraging yourself in the Lord like David did, and you believe that God is going to provide, and he's going to add what he desires to bring into your life. Thank God that the brokenhearted are healed. Thank God that the captive are delivered. Thank God that the blind have sight again. Thank God that the bruised are brought into liberty. Our God knows how to get the job done. Our God knows how to add the blessings that he's promised to your life. Just keep holding on. Just keep believing God. Just keep recognizing he's going to be there for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. What incredible fulfillment of the promises of spirit and power, of his name being preached in Jerusalem for repentance and remission of sins. And thank God they fulfilled what his word declared. When the Holy Ghost came in Acts chapter 2, they were there with one mind and one accord. They were praising and worshiping God. They'd been there for about a week praising and worshiping God. And the hand of the Lord was displayed on their behalf. And there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Praise God. What a powerful move of God there as the fulfillment of Scripture came and God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Why did Peter have that quote readily available? He could have gone to Isaiah 28. He could have gone to Jeremiah 32. He could have gone to any number of scriptures, but he went to Joel chapter 2 and he quoted it. God is going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And then he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Oh, I'm glad God keeps his promises. I'm glad God fulfills his word. I'm thankful it's still available. I'm thankful it's still happening. I'm thankful God is still pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. There's an addition that is wonderful and powerful that God wants to bring into our life. Now notice this. Acts chapter 2, it continues. They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wow, what a powerful move of God. It goes on, verse 47. They were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Praise God. They gladly received. There wasn't sorrow. There wasn't grief. There wasn't pain. There wasn't difficulty. They gladly received his word, and they were praising God for the Lord doing a work in their lives. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm thankful that we can know the goodness of the Lord. Now, Peter was the preacher on that day. Peter remained faithful. Peter remained strong. Peter remained useful in the kingdom of God. And he then admonishes us in his second letter. Oh, he talks about the good promises of God. Great and precious promises that the Lord gives to us, whereby we are made partakers of the divine nature. Oh, he was familiar with the human nature. He was familiar with that and the failings of it, and how he was so outspoken, and how he put his sandal in his mouth from time to time, and how he denied the Lord those three times. He was familiar with it. That's why he grabbed a hold of those great and exceeding precious promises of God to become a partaker of the divine nature. He said, give diligence. Don't be haphazard about it. Don't be lackadaisical about it. Don't be apathetic. Give diligence to add to your faith. See, he wasn't saying, just float along in your faith. It's all going to be good. It's all going to be okay. No, he said, give diligence. Pay attention. Be focused. Seek it. Give diligence to add to your faith. So then, add virtue. Virtue? There are a lot of people today don't even know what that word means. Have no idea. Virtue. Still in the Word of God. Still the command that God wants you to add it to your faith. Amen. And to virtue, temperance. Or knowledge, rather. Knowledge about the Lord. Knowledge of His Word. Knowledge in your experience with God. And to knowledge, temperance. Self-control. And to self-control, patience. And to patience, godliness. Godliness? We already talked about virtue. Well, godliness gives you the ability to have virtue. Godliness gives you the ability. There's power in godliness. Amen. To help you to live where God is pleased with, where God would have you to live. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Amen. Easy to become judgmental. God help us to have that kindness. And with that kindness to our brother and sister, charity, love, love that wakes you up in the night and you have a burden for somebody. You're thinking about them. You know what they're going through. And you pray, oh, God, bless my sister. Oh, God, lift up my brother. Oh, God, minister to them today. Help them to overcome. Help them to be blessed. Help them to be strong. Praise God. That's the love and action that God wants you to add to your faith. Praise God. Not just floating along in faith, but fight the good fight. Amen. Know the power and the blessing that's there and give diligence, because it's not automatic that those things are added. Reach out for it. And Peter goes on to say, if these things be in you and abound. Oh my. Is God a God of abundance? Is God one who can bring abundance to you again and again? These things can be in you and abound. And make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is that fruitfulness that God wants to see in your life. There is that power and that blessing that the Lord wants to show. He will add. Now there's a warning against adding. There's a warning that not to add. And that's don't add to the Word of God. Don't take away from it either. Don't diminish it, the Bible says. Deuteronomy 4 and 2, and it's repeated in 12 and 32. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. Amen. And there are several more passages. Add not to his words. Proverbs 30 and 6. Revelation 22 and 18. Don't add to these words, or God will add the plagues to you. Amen. And we know it's right. Don't add carnality to your Christian walk. Don't add abusing grace to amazing grace. Don't add license to liberty. A lot of people would in their Christian walk would feel like, I have liberty, so I can do whatever I want. I can walk wherever I want. I can act like, you know, no. That's not license. It's liberty to live the way God wants you to. Amen. And thank God that there would be the blessings that the Lord would provide for us. The Bible in Isaiah 30 and 1 talks about wrong counsel, wrong covering, wrong addition, because they're going to add sin to sin. That's not God's plan for us, not sin to sin. No, blessing to blessing. Amen. Power and power. Goodness and goodness. Thank God that the Lord would have those elements of blessing available to us. Amen. And thank God that there needs to be that awareness of the emphasis of grace and love and mercy, and eliminate the things of ungodliness, and walk in the power and the blessing of the Lord, and to know His strength is there. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Well, I will after I play a few games on a computer. And a couple of hours go by, and I got 10 minutes. I better look in the Word of God. Well, God help us. Amen. Now, budgeting that time, balancing that time, amen, that's what's important. And the Bible says, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the Word of God. That's why Jesus emphasized teach twice in Matthew 28. Teaching them. Teach. Praise God. In 2 Timothy 2 and 2, Paul said, the things that you've heard from me, Timothy, he's the first generation, Timothy's the next. Teach thou to faithful men, there's the next generation, who'll be able to teach others also. That's the fourth generation. God wants it to continue on. God wants it to keep going. Thank God. Be able to teach what you know. Be able to share what you've learned. Hallelujah. Be able to live for God in the way that God wants you to. Amen. So that we can know the power of the Lord. Put off concerning your former conduct, the Bible says. There's subtraction too. God wants you to add, and you need to subtract. Praise God. The old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Put them off. Get rid of them. Subtract. Amen. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. Thank God. That subtraction is very important. Because if you continue in them, guess what? Sorrow, difficulty, problems. The Bible makes a contrast. This is real important. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. A contrast between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. And you're not going to be repentant about that. You're not going to feel bad about that. You're not going to be sad about that. Amen. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. The commandments of God are not grievous. Amen. That great joy in the city. And with gladness receiving the word of God. There is a change. There's a difference that came to them. Thank God that the power of the Lord is there for us to be able to walk in that realm. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. The sorrow of the world. Now, we don't sorrow like others do. Amen. God bless Sister Sherry for helping out Sister Pam. Amen. Because there is sorrow. There is grieving. There's hurt. There's tears. But thank God. The body of Christ can come together. Prayer, comfort, help, assurance. Amen. Thank the Lord. Oh, I'm glad the Lord put us in the church. I'm glad the Lord put us in families. I'm glad the Lord provided for us. Amen. All the goodness that he would pour out upon us. Praise God. Because there is the sorrow of the world that would try to pull you down. But godly sorrow moves you into his presence, moves you into his abundance, moves you into his power and into his goodness. Thank God he adds no sorrow with it. It's not burdensome. It's not oppressive. It's not a difficulty. Praise God. But oh, I'm thankful. There's also coming the moment that God is going to take away. He adds, but there's going to be a taking away. Hallelujah. What is it going to feel like to step into that heavenly realm and to be there knowing it's for eternity? This is not a visit. This is not a vacation. This is not just a time to relax. This is forever. Praise God. And the Bible says God is going to wipe away all tears. What is that going to be like to be standing on streets of gold and you feel his hand begin to wipe those tears off of your cheeks? Praise God. Oh my, I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss that opportunity to be in his presence forever. Not only is he going to do that, but the Bible says there's no sorrow. He's not going to add sorrow. No, there's no sorrow. There's no tears. There's no crying. There's no death. Praise God. He's going to take those things away. Moreover, he's going to take Satan away. No Satan there. No deceit, no temptation, no doubts. Praise God. But forever in the presence of God. Forever. Hallelujah. Oh, I want God to continue to add to us. Hallelujah. Stand, please. God bless you. All those former things are going to pass away, the Bible says. We're not going to grieve that passing. We're not going to regret that passing. Praise God. There's going to be rejoicing. Right. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Right. Psalm 16:11. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Oh, my. I'm glad we experience that to a degree here and now. I'm glad we get a taste. We get the earnest of our inheritance, the Bible says. A down payment, as it were, of what God is going to bless us with in abundance. Thank God that we're able to step into that realm of greater blessing and power again and again. Experience his presence over and over. To know his touch again and again. I want God to keep adding to us.
Praise God.
Amen. Add to the church, yes. But, oh, God, add to my experience in you. Add to my knowledge in you. Add to my relationship in you. And let me have an even greater capacity to absorb what you have for me, Lord. All of the blessings, all of the goodness, all of the strength. Praise God. Because I guarantee you, based on the word of the Lord, you're going to receive more. More? How can there be more? Try it out. And I know you have. There's so much more that God has for us. Thank God. You want God to add more? You want God to bring more into your life? You want God to start his power and his process again and again in your life? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. How can we miss? Thank God. Thank God. Come if you desire more. We're going to pray. We're going to sing. We're going to worship. We're going to believe God. We're going to trust him. We're going to enjoy his presence and his touch. Praise God. Because he wants to add more to you. Not the sorrow of this world, not the sorrow of the wrong deeds and the mistakes and so on. No, to move in his realm. righteousness, power, godliness, goodness, strength, loving kindness, compassion. Oh my, the list goes on and on. Thank God. Can we worship the Lord again here today? Hallelujah.